It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Amalek, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrates of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Amalek, Naomi's husband, died. And when she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the woman of Moab, the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that they might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how far that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I don't know. It sounds like to me that this woman, Naomi, had some serious issues going on. Amen. And since none of us are Naomi today, we should be praising the Lord. We should be praising the Lord. There should be a spirit of gratefulness this morning. There should be a spirit of praise this morning. I don't know what you came to do. And I don't want you breaking down my spirit this morning. And I don't want you breaking down somebody else's spirit next to you. Hallelujah. So if you didn't come here to praise the Lord this morning, if you came to show up, if you came just because you wanted to get dressed, you can go out that door right now. I want some people here with me this morning that came to worship. I want somebody to know who he is and what he has done for you. You want to be cute? Cute is all outside. But beauty's only skin deep. You could come in here looking like soccer players, but as long as you praise in the Lord, that's what counts. You could come in here with mixed max socks, but praising the Lord is what counts. You better give the Lord his flowers from your heart while you're alive. Hallelujah. Lord, help me this morning. Lord, help me this morning. Lord, help me this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My mother's not here, but I know what Mother's Day meant. Hallelujah. I know what Mother's Day means to me. Hallelujah. And if your mother's here, you need to celebrate and praise the Lord for it. And even if she ain't here, she did raise you. She did birth you. She died almost having you. Somebody need to be thankful this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Cute ain't getting you into heaven. It ain't getting you up there. Come on. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord this morning. Thank God for mothers. Praise the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for them this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If I had a title for my sermon this morning, it's called Going Home. Hallelujah. Going home. Mother's Day is a celebration of honoring mothers, as well as motherhood, maternal bonds, and the influence of mothers in society. And I want you to listen to the words that I use. I said motherhood, maternal bonds, and the influence of mothers in society. And I specifically use those words because there are mothers that haven't birthed a baby. Can somebody say amen? Every generation of mothers have had and will have struggles due to social, economic, and political circumstances. Amen? But there's one consistent that about motherhood and being a mother that should never change, and that is the sovereignty of God in your life. Most of us will acknowledge that the work of mothering is demanding and difficult. If you don't know that, I'm going to say it again. That mothering is demanding and difficult. When daddy don't want to be bothered, mother still got to be there. Baby, daddy hear the baby crying, but mommy hear the baby's hungry. Daddy hear the baby crying, mommy hear the diaper needs to be changed. Mommy laying in bed at night and all of a sudden wakes up and says, where's my child? Daddy's snoring. There is something about being a mother that is so quite different and unique than being a man and being a daddy. Amen? But God, you know, when we sit up here and we dedicate children, I always get to that verse and to the mother and I say, do you understand the nurturing touch that God has gifted you with as a mother? Because I want the mother to understand that there's a special nurturing touch that she has that daddy don't have. It's special. Motherhood, mothers, they're special. Amen? It seems like so much, not just in this time, but in the time before and in history, that so much of the burdens of grief has always been placed in the mother's hands. Amen? Something happens to daddy. Mothers are carrying great burdens. Amen? And they don't run from them. Sometimes it looks like they relish them and they cherish them. While we think that they're weak, they are getting stronger. Amen? Don't underestimate a mother. It is God's grace that enables every mother to nurture life in the face of death. We acknowledge our inability to mother our children apart from the Lord's provision and strength. When we do that, That's when we honor God. Amen? That's when we honor God's grace. And God's grace turns every mother's weakness into a blessing. So in the scripture that was read this morning, in the book of Ruth, we are introduced to a family of a man named Amalek. Amalek lived in the days of the judges. It is a sad tale of a man who took his family and left a blessed land and walked out on the Lord and ignored God's plan for his life. And as a result of his decision, he and his family paid a big price for that. We are told that Amalek took his family from Bethlehem, Judea, and he went to Moab. Well, if you know the story of where Moab and the Moabites came from, you remember that Moab was the son, he was the descendant of a man named Moab, who was the son of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughters. Amen. So this people, they were proud, but they were lawless. They were immoral. They were brutal. They were violent. They always attacked and they opposed Israel, always seeking to destroy the people of God. This people was opposed to God and his ways. In Psalm 60:8, it says, God says this, Moab is my washpot. That means that Moab is a despised place. Moab wasn't even worthy enough to wash the feet of honored individuals that came visiting. God was saying that this place was nothing, and they will never be nothing, and they were reduced to the highest form of slavery. But this is where the man of God took his children and his wife and his family to, because the scripture said that there was a famine in the land. Sometimes, let me just break off right here, because there was a family in the land, the man took his family elsewhere. Sometimes when we have a famine in our life, we want to take our families and our situations away from God. When you do this, you don't realize that God always protects his people. The scripture teaches us that living, he actually backslid. The scripture teaches us that living in a backslidden condition carries devastating consequences for us. Amen? For this man and his family, there were devastating consequences for him. But our God is a God of restoration. Amen? Our God is a God of repentance. If they would have went back and repented, if he would have went back and repented, there's a possibility that the devastation wouldn't have happened. Sometimes, despite the circumstance that you go through right now, the circumstances that you see, you have to have patience with the Lord. When there was a famine in the land, it was more than a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land, physically. That means that there was no food and there was a shortage of food. Amen. But while there was a shortage of food in the land, there was a moral famine in the land. This man had a moral famine in the land because he went to a land where God was not important, where God basically did not exist. Amen. It can be best described in terms that it was a time of turbulence. It was a time of social upheaval. The days in Moab was marked by lawlessness, idolatry, false religion, theft, drunkenness, sexual perversion, violence, national diversion, civil war, and extreme disbelief, unbelief and disbelief. That sounds pretty familiar to me. That sounds like the times that we're living in right now. Amen? Those days are not different from the way it is right now. But there was also a missionary famine in the land. You see, often in the Old Testament, God would use something like a famine to get people's attention. Amen? When people would stray away from God, God would create situations that would turn them to him. But this man, instead of him seeing that God was turning him to him, he turned away from God. Amen? We go through famine sometimes. Sometimes we go through a financial famine. There's not enough money to get through the month. Amen? Sometimes we go through a physical famine where our health and well-being become exclusive. It leaves us. Amen? Hallelujah. I heard that. Sometimes there's a spiritual famine when God seems so very far away from us. But whatever form that famine takes in your life, God is watching you. And his intention is to let you know and to see what you're going to do. Amen? God the Father watches over his children. Just like you watch over your children. Sometimes you have let them go out to play, but you're watching them through the window. And you're watching to see what they're going to do. You're watching to see if they're going to follow your word. Be obedient to your word. God watches over his children. Are you obedient to what God has told you? Amen? Sometimes God is doing things to correct you. Sometimes he's trying to do something to perfect you. Amen? But how you react to the famine experiences determine whether your time that this thing is happening is a blessing in your life or whether it's a time of devastation. Come on, somebody. I need to say that again. When you're going through the famine, it can either be a blessing or a time of devastation. Is the glass half empty or is it half full? Hallelujah. Amalek didn't realize that it was a time that he made a choice, but it was a dangerous choice. He didn't realize that how he responded to the Lord, what was going to happen in his life. Notice he made three mistakes with his family during this famine experience. Number one, he chose to leave the promised land. When you're a child of God, no matter what it looks on the outside, you're in a promised place. The Bible tells us that this man made a conscious decision to leave. Sometimes we make a conscious decision to leave. This man left Bethlehem, Judah. Let me tell you what that name means. It means Bethlehem, house of bread. Judah means praise. So this man left the house of bread and the house of praise. He left because while the famine was going on, there was no bread in the house of bread. There was no reason for rejoicing in the praise. But while his geographic location failed him, he failed even his name. His name means, my God is king. So he disrespected even the name that he was given. Back in those days when they gave you a name, your name meant something. Amen? His name meant, my God is king. He even failed his name. He didn't even know who he was. If he knew that and he felt like his God was king, he would have never left. Amen? If he understood that God was king, he would understand and he would know that God's valleys don't always last forever. Amen? He would know that God always takes care of his people. Amen. After all, he had a relative that lived in the same land that he left. His name was Boaz. Amen. And if you look in Ruth 2 and 1, you see that Boaz, he didn't have a problem in the land. Because God takes care of his people. Sometimes in our own lives, we need to look at our cousins and our relatives when we have a bit of doubt to understand that God takes care of his people. Sometimes we got to see a living thing. Sometimes we got to see somebody that we know to understand that God takes care of his people. Sometimes when you hear about somebody else down the road in another town, you need to be able to see somebody next door, somebody with the same last name that you got, to understand that God takes care of his people. If he stayed in Bethlehem and did what he had to do, God had an inheritance for this man because he was in the promised land. Hallelujah. But look at what he did. He chose to leave. But when he left, where did he go? He went to a polluted land. He went to a land already known for all of these disgusting things to God. Amen? He went in clear violation of what the Lord was commanding him to do. He chose a forbidding path. Amen? You know, when you leave the will of God and you leave the promised land, the decisions that you make, you already, number one, made a bad decision to leave. Number two, the decision that you make to go somewhere else, that's not a good decision either. Amen? Because you're probably looking at the physical things and not the spiritual things. This man was looking at the physical things. They had bread there. We don't have it here. But he didn't look at the spiritual things that were going on over there. Amen? It was totally turning away from God to the world. It was totally turning away from the faith that he had. Listen, if you have faith, how many have faith? Do you have faith this morning? Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody let me know you have faith this morning. If you have faith this morning, I want to give you a clue. It ain't easy. Nobody ever said in the Bible, in the word, that having faith was going to be easy. But the Bible do tell you that through the testing and the trial of your faith, that you'll be overcomers, that you shall survive. Jesus said you will overcome the world because I have. This man, Amalek, also didn't understand that they could not worship at the temple any longer. They couldn't bring their offerings to the temple any longer. The feast that they always had kept, that they were commanded by the Lord to do, they couldn't do that either. They were isolated from everything that stood for God. Let me say this to you. You leave the will of God and you go out into the world, you're going to be isolated from everything that you know. If you don't believe me, listen to me. When you're a child of God and you're a true child of God, those people that are out there, they know it. And as you are fooling around and you're having fun and you have money and you have an overabundance, things are going to be fine. But just as soon as things turn around, they're going to leave you like a hot potato. And then you're going to be isolated by yourself. And the enemy of your soul does nothing. He wants nothing better than to isolate you. Because when you're in isolation, he can conquer you. Have you ever been in isolation? Have you ever just been so alone? One of the things that this pandemic has done to people, they felt so isolated from one another. We felt so isolated from each other. And when you're isolated, your mind plays tricks on you. Things are either real or they're imagined. Amen? You sit in the house, you hear a sound, and you say, what's that? You start looking at the window, and ain't nobody coming. Your mind starts wondering what other people are doing. you start fantasizing about things that should be going on, but ain't going on. Isolation is a trick that the enemy uses to get you. Amen? When you're feeling isolated, you need to call on somebody. If you dial on the phone and you can't call on nobody, you really need to be calling on the Lord. Amalek exposed his family to evils that they would have avoided if they stayed in Israel. Listen to what happened to his boys. His boys married two pagan women. It is never right for the child of God to marry an unbeliever. I didn't say it. Don't get mad at me. It's in the Bible. The Bible says, can two walk together unless they agree? Well, if you don't agree on God, then you ain't walking together. Somebody say amen. But listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Be not equally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? I didn't say it. It's in the Word of God. So if you're looking to get married, don't get married just to get married. If somebody don't believe in God, don't marry them if you believe in God. Because you're going to have a life of hell. It might look good, but it's going to be a life of hell. This man's sons, they violated the will of God by intermingling and marrying with this pagan race. But wait a minute, it still goes further. It says they chose to linger there. He didn't go there and then come back. They stayed there at least 10 years, amen? The Bible scripture says they continued, meaning they meant to exist or to become. This means that they didn't just go there for a weekend. They didn't just go there for a couple of months. They didn't just go there for a year. They stayed there, amen? Their intention was to stay there. Hallelujah. Who knows how far into sin in that society Amalek and his sons and his family went into. Amen? But the days turned into weeks and the weeks into months. Before they knew it, they was there longer than they ever imagined. I don't know about you. Have you ever done something and you say, I'm just going to do this for a little while? I need to speak to some people that know what I'm talking about. You said, I'm just going to do this for a little while. Just a little while. But then all of a sudden you lose control. You lose your mind. You lose all sanity, all kind of thoughts, all kind of sane thoughts that you used to have. That people come to you and look at you and say, well, what happened to you? I need to be talking to some people that know what I'm talking about. Amen? I'm just going to have one, but then pour me another and pour me another. And pour me another, and pour me another, and then it's pour me. Maybe you've been somewhere gambling saying, come on, seven. With your paycheck. Started with the $20. Before you know it, your whole paycheck gone. Maybe it started with just one hit. Got quiet in here. It's okay. I'm being for real. It might have started with just one hit. And then another. And then another. And then another. Maybe it started with just one poke. You know, that crack, that cocaine, that freebase. You did it that first time and you went way up high. And you kept spending your money trying to get right back to that same high again all night long till your money's gone. And you never get that high again. I need some people to know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. You don't have to admit it, but I know what I'm talking about. But I was just going to just do it just one time. It ain't going to, I ain't going to be here all night.
just that one time, just a little longer. Amalek, I'm just a little longer, just a little longer till I can get some bread. Someplace you ain't got no business being, just a little longer. You done lost control. This man lost control. He didn't understand that sin always have harsh consequences. I said sin always has harsh consequences. There is no sin that has nice things to happen with it. It don't have nice consequences, amen? This was a case not just for the man, but for his family as well. Listen, when you are a family man or you are a mother, a family woman, you are not your own. You don't get together just to take the nice portraits to hang on the wall, the family pictures. You're not a family just to go to the family reunions. You're not a family just to get better health care. That's not what God made a family for. Amen? Before Amalek loaded up his family and moved them, he had already moved away from God in his heart. Before you move away from God physically, you move away from him in your heart. I gave the message last week, for where your treasure is. This man already moved in his heart from God. People who don't decide that they don't want to come to church no longer, it ain't got nothing to do with a pandemic. I didn't know that was off. Though we couldn't do it physically, spiritually we could still get together. Spiritually he allowed us to pray. Spiritually he allowed us to care one for another. This man, he left in his heart before he physically left. He had died to God before he physically died. Amen? While his sons were there, he was taking his sons down to death with him. You see, because when they went to the land, they disobeyed the God that was over in Bethlehem, Judah, as well. Amen? Maybe during the course of time, those six sons, they were called to repent. But God gave that family 10 years to get it right. Sometimes God puts a time limit. Things don't last always. God gave them 10 years to repent, but time finally ran out. Don't let time run out on you today. Hallelujah. They paid the price for their disobedience. Hallelujah. So now, the sons died. The husband died. But the mother, she's left with two daughter-in-laws. Two Moabites. They wasn't even daughters from Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Judea, that she would be familiar with. They wasn't daughters who understood the God that she served. Spiritual strangers were her daughter-in-laws. Amen? In those days, the poorest of the poor were the widows with no children. The boys didn't have children. She had no grandsons. Amen. But these women were left desolate, discouraged, and defeated. It didn't have to be that way, but the sins of the son put them in that position. Amen. And we don't know a lot of details about Naomi. But when I read the story of Naomi, I hear about so many mothers that I see today. I see the story of so many mothers that are going through so many things today. Desolate and alone. Whether the man died or whether he left. With daughters and laws. With children. With situations. With circumstances. Oh, hallelujah. That they're stuck with. But Naomi knew the God that she used to serve. Amen. She knew where she did come from. She knew where she used to be. Amen. But she had feelings too. She renamed herself Tamara, meaning bitter. Names mean something. Names mean something. She changed her name to bitter. All she was left with were daughter-in-laws, and she couldn't even provide for them because she couldn't provide for herself. How can you provide for somebody else and you can't provide for yourself? Hallelujah. There was a realization, but somehow in Naomi's spirit, somehow she heard that God was blessing the people back over there again. Hallelujah. She heard that they were blessing them back in Bethlehem, Judea. But the truth of the matter was God never stopped blessing them. She heard that they were blessing them again. No, God never stops blessing. No matter what you're going through, God never stops blessing. It might look a little dark to you, whatever you're going through, but God never stops blessing. When you're going through something, you hold on to God's unchanging hand because he never stops blessing. Hallelujah. Understanding that God was blessing back where they came from, that God was blessing over in the promised land, this sparked up a desire in her heart to go home. She remembered what it was like to be close to the things of God. Oh, hallelujah. She remembered the sacrifices. She remembers the worship. Let me tell you, sometimes when you're down and out, you got to call to your remembrance the things of God. You got to recall what it means to worship the God. You got to understand that sometimes that even though you don't see it, you know that your blessing is coming because you can feel it. She understood. Oh, I know what God is blessing. I know what I came from. Sometimes we get into situations, we got to understand the stock that we made of. The enemy want to keep you down and defeated, but you got to know that you're a child of God. You got to know what your mama and your daddy taught you. You got to know that you used to be in church, and when you said, praise the Lord, all of your issues just seem to go away. We used to sing a song, at the cross where I first saw the light. Then the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there. It was there. The songwriter says it was there. Hallelujah. What happened? Listen, what happened to Naomi is the same thing that happened to the prodigal son. The prodigal son in Luke says, and when he came to himself, I'm saying that when Naomi came to herself and she remembered, oh, hallelujah, you lose it for a second. But when you come to yourself, realize that God is the answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When that boy understood, when he came to himself, that he had been working in a form of insanity. Hallelujah. And insanity is repeating the same mistakes, expecting different results. So when you do insane things, you still have a level of expectation. You still have a level of expectation. So when you praise God and you serve God, you should have a level of expectation. Just like Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, the Lord we serve, he will save us. But if not, it's the will of God. Whatever your situation is, you have a level of expectation. But if not, sometimes we give the devil too much credit. He don't control nothing. It's the will of God. We serve the Lord, and if things don't work out the way we want to, and if not, you don't stop worshiping. You don't stop praising. You don't stop serving. You don't start calling on the name of the Lord. But if not, the Bible says that Naomi arose that she might return from the country of Moab. Wherefore, she went out of the place that she was. That means there's an action that you have to do. It says she didn't sit there. She went out from where she was. Wherever you are, you got to get out from wherever you are. Don't always expect God to come to you. You got to get out from wherever you are. God didn't put you in that situation. You made decisions. I spoke to somebody the other day, and we are the only animal, the only creation that God gave a choice to. A bear is going to be a bear. It can't be a chicken. You got a choice to sin or don't sin. Naomi rose up and left Moab behind. She experienced a change of heart, and that resulted in a change of direction. When you have a change of heart, where your treasure is, when you have a change of heart, you have a change of direction. You don't understand why you keep doing what you're doing. Check your heart. Check your treasure. You want to change? Check your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Naomi, she rose up and went on her way back to the land of Judah, back to the land of praise. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Somebody's going through something this morning. You need to get back to your land of Judah. You need to get back to your land of praise. You need to get back to where you should have never left. Oh, hallelujah. She was going home. I said this is about going home. She was going home. Some of us need to go home this morning. Some of us need to come home this morning. Hallelujah. This is a great woman. This is a great mother, Naomi. Let me tell you something about Naomi that's not in my scriptures. It's not in here right now. Let me tell you something about her. She lost her two biological boys, but she never stopped being a mother to the daughter-in-law. Because a mother's a mother. She never stopped being a mother to her daughter-in-laws. She told the both of them, go! Go back home. I can't do nothing for you. One left and one stayed. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know what happened to the one that left, Oprah. But I can tell you something about Ruth. God bless Ruth beyond measure. God bless Ruth so much that Jesus Christ is in the lineage of Ruth. Hallelujah. Because David is in the lineage of Ruth. Hallelujah. Ruth said to Naomi, I might have been over there as a Moabite, but let me tell you something. You're my mother-in-law now. Wherever you go, I'm going. If you die, I'm dying. What you eat, I'm eating. Your God is my God. That's the kind of commitment God wants from you today. Wherever you go, tell me to go, God, I'm going. Whatever you give me to eat, God, I'm eating.
God, wherever you tell me to die, I'm going to die. Whether I live or whether I die, it should all be for the glory of God. Naomi turns out to be a true mother. Amen. When she came out of Moab, she came out empty. Sometimes we are in situations, we go in with full of promise, and then we got to get out of there. And when we come out empty. And we say, Lord, why did you do this to me? Come on, somebody. You say, Lord, why did you do that to me? But you should say, Lord, where you taking me to? Lord, I don't know. I don't understand, but I know that there's a blessing in this somewhere for me. I don't know why you're using me in this situation, but God, I am going to be used by you however you want me to be used. Sometimes your test turns into the testimony that somebody else needs to hear. Hallelujah. I talk about people in this congregation all the time. I talk about Brother Tommy. He's not here today, but they called me to the hospital to give him last rites. He came by yesterday. He don't have a walker, but he's walking. He's still alive. Sister House is in the house today. She was down and out before the pandemic, but God brought her back. She's still alive. When you hear her pray on the phone, she praised the Lord. She screamed hallelujah. She understood that things won't always be this way. I don't care what your situation is today. You got to know that things ain't always going to be this way. Because as long as you're alive, God has given you an opportunity to get it right, to change things, to change your heart, to move in another direction. To move in another direction. To get out of where you're at right now. To leave where you came from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When she left that country, she left everything that she valued behind. Do you understand? When Naomi left the country of Moab, she left everything of value behind. I'm saying that because some of you got some stuff that you're valuing. Oh, hallelujah. In order to get blessed, you need to leave it behind. What you value is nothing to God. What you're holding on to, He has an abundance of more to give you. If you just be obedient, if you just be obedient to His word. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You holding on to that $10, He got $150 for you. You want to live in that little stinky, dirty apartment? He got a house for you. Oh, hallelujah. You want to drive in that putt-putt mobile and He's got a Cadillac for you. Sometimes you got to leave it all behind. Hallelujah. Leave it. There's more where it came from. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As she journeyed faithfully forth, God continued to work in her life. And as we continue to move faithfully, God will continue to work in your life too, even in the most difficult situations of your life. Amen? We might think that Naomi did absolutely nothing, because when you read the story of Ruth, all you hear about is Ruth and Boaz. But this woman was an example of going through something. Of going through something, having emotion, feeling left out and hurt, but then remembering the God that she served. And because she remembered, she was able to drive her daughter-in-law where she needed to go. Ruth did not get Boaz by herself. She needed
Naomi as a mother to teach her what she should do to get the man. I need to say that again. She needed Naomi. Ruth needed Naomi to show her the way to get the man. She said, Naomi, she said, Ruth, don't go out there showing everything to that man. She said, Ruth, don't give him no milk unless he get the whole cow. She said, Ruth, if he loves you and respects you, he ain't going to put you in a situation to embarrass yourself. She said, Ruth, I know you didn't grow up here, and you don't know the ways, and you don't know the customs. You don't know these people like I do. So listen to me, and God is going to bless you. I grew up in an era where the mothers, they would take the children, they would take the young girls and say, honey, come sit next to me. You know, you need to do a little better with yourself these days. I know you like that little boy over there. And I know he's smelling you too. But listen to me. You bring them on down to the altar. Y'all follow a godly life. Do what the Lord say do, and he's going to bless you. Amen? I grew up with mothers like that in the church. You know why I know I grew up with mothers like that in the church? Huh? Because I was one of them little boys smelling up the girls trying to say, oh, you look so cute. But it took mothers in the church to teach their daughters, and not just their daughters, because it was like Naomi and Ruth. They wasn't related by blood. She didn't birth Ruth, but it was her daughter-in-law, and she took her as a daughter. Our mothers used to take women and young girls and teenage girls and young women like their daughters. I don't even know where that came from. That's not in the script. But I'm letting the Lord lead me. Naomi, she got sad and upset when her family passed away. Naomi, she realized that she wasn't young anymore. She realized that she couldn't even pull away. She realized that grief had paralyzed her from being the woman that she used to be. Even before they came to Bethlehem, she did not want the extra burden of these two girls there. But the God placed something in her spirit with Ruth. After Ruth says, I'm not leaving you, she finally accepted and relented and let Ruth come with her. Amen? We see Naomi looking out for Ruth even in the midst of grief. That means to say that even though you're going through grief, and some of us has gone through a lot of grief, don't let grief stop you from doing what God has designated you to do. Listen, God redeems the lost. Naomi, she thought she lost everything. She lost her husband and her son. She lost her family line. Her bloodline was gone. Amen? But God didn't end the bloodline. Amen? Abraham and Sarah, they thought that their bloodline wasn't going to exist, at least with the two of them together. But God redeemed the lost. He didn't get rid of their bloodline. Naomi's story reminds us that God is working out redemption and restoration always. Amen?
Oh, hallelujah. I want to close with this. I want you to know that your adversities are God's universities. Your adversities are the things that God uses you to educate you. Those are the things he uses to teach you. Those are the things he teach you so you can teach somebody else. Those are the things he uses so somebody else can learn. Your adversities are God's universities. Let us stand this morning.